produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord. Another awesome time to be able to share God's word, and so that we can all be enriched and all ensure that the word of God becomes a lamp unto our feet. Well, today I want to talk about when the Lord orders your steps. That's right. The title of our message today is When the Lord Orders Your Steps. And we're going straight to the word in Psalms 37, verse 23. And it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." When God orders your steps, he will be delighted in the way in which you walk. It is pleasing to the Lord when you walk according to his way and according to his will. He orders the steps of a righteous man, of a good man. Praise the Lord. So today I want to challenge all of us and ask, who is ordering your steps? Who is ordering your steps? And I want us to take a moment and just pause. Salah means pause. It means meditate. Have a Salah moment and meditate and ask yourself earnestly and honestly, who is ordering my steps? Because if I was to take a poll amongst us and ask, I'm sure all of us would say, God is ordering my steps. Yes, the Lord is ordering my steps. He's directing my every step. However, let me ask you this. How many of us out there prayed and asked God, what should we study? Or did we just take a course that was affordable? Or did we just take that course that was offered by government? How many of us asked God where we should live? Or did we just stay in the first house that we could afford? And, you know, we could go on and on. I think many of us only pray and ask God when maybe it comes to marriage, and then we spend a couple of days or weeks or whatever it is asking God to order our steps concerning marriage. But in most decisions, most of us do not ask God and do not allow him to order our steps. We do not ask God, how many children have you assigned to me? Because children are like arrows in the quiver of a man. So how many of us actually do that? Because unless we're doing that, we cannot honestly say that it's God who's ordering our steps. He may be ordering some of them, but certainly not all of them. So God, I want to provoke us with this message just to say that let us allow God to order our steps. Let us be prayerful over everything and allow God to literally order our steps every day. And that's something that the Lord had to teach me progressively when I was a baby Christian, as I got born again. And I'm still a work in progress. I haven't come to the level where he orders every single one of my steps, but I certainly am not where I was 37 years ago when I got born again. I've learned to allow him to order my steps. And most decisions, like I say, I won't say all, every single one, but certainly I've reached a level where I allow God to order my steps in most of what I do. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, many of us say God is ordering our steps, but truly, really and truly, is it really God? Is it God who's ordering your steps? Or is it the government maybe who's ordering your steps? Or is it your family? Maybe it's your in-laws who are ordering your steps. And because you're trying to be a good makoti, a good daughter-in-law, you're allowing your in-laws to order your steps. And single sisters, is it really God who's ordering your steps? Or is it your fiance, you know, because you are so wanting to get married that you're allowing your fiance to order every one of your steps? So I want to talk a little bit about you know, when the Lord orders our steps. And we're going to go into Genesis 26, and this is the account that we're reading, the account of when Isaac was digging the wells. There are a few principles from that account in Genesis 26 that I believe will help us understand what does it mean when God is ordering your steps, and what are the benefits? What are the benefits to be derived? What are the benefits that we can accrue from allowing God to order our steps? There are a few principles we'll talk about, and I pray that you will be blessed, and I pray that I will also be ministered to and reminded of God's word and the importance of allowing Him to order our steps, not our flesh, not too many voices out there, but allowing God and Holy Spirit to order our steps. Romans 8:14, a scripture which I quote often, says that, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God shall be called sons of God. So when you're a son walking in maturity, walking in sonship, then you allow God to order your steps. You allow Holy Spirit to lead you, not your flesh, not your emotions, but God to lead you and God to order your steps. So Genesis 26 verses 17 and 18, and the scripture reads as follows. It says, "Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." Verse 18, "And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." And so we see here a situation where Isaac was digging. He was digging after the manner of his father Abraham. He saw how his father dug, and he even called the wells with the same names that his father had called him. And the first thing I want to say is that sometimes we allow men or human beings to order our steps. Isaac was following his father's lead. And a lot of times in our lives, we allow man to order our steps. And that's fine if those men are also being led by God. You know, it was Paul who said, "Follow me as I follow after Christ." So we can follow other people to the degree that they're following after Christ. It's good to follow after people. So we can allow ourselves to follow after people who themselves are following after God, but they must be following after God. So be careful of allowing man to order your steps. And sometimes we do that. Why? Because we want to be approved. We want to be validated by man. We want to belong. We want to be part of that club, you know, that apostolic club, that prophetic club that is trending and, you know, that is getting so much attention. We want to be part of that club. And so we allow man then to order our steps, to tell us what to do. Even when we don't have peace in our own spirits, we don't even have peace in our hearts, but because we want to be a part of the club, we want to be approved and validated by others, by our peers, we allow man to order our steps. And many of us have been guilty of this. I'm sure many of us will remember, even as far back as school, you know, you'd always have the clubs, the cool kids clubs, where these were the cool kids. It was a cool people, cool group of people. And these were the ones who were cool, that you could hang out with that cool gang and be liked by everybody because they were the ones who were wearing trendy clothes. They were the popular ones. They were the influential ones. And at school, it was always nice to belong to that club so that one could be approved and one could be validated and one could be respected and one could be looked up to. And many of us, though we grow up physically and we grow older, we still have that little child in us that wants to belong to the cool group, you know. And because of that longing and wanting to belong to the ones that are trending and the ones that are going out there, many times, oftentimes, we allow the trendy group of people, the trendy apostolic network, or the trendy prophetic network, or the trendy ministry network, we allow ourselves to be ordered by them. And even at work, sometimes because we're so desperate for promotion at work, we want to get that promotion so we can get more money, so we can get a more senior title, so we can get that big office, so we can put that office manager label on our door. So oftentimes we don't allow God to order our steps because we're so focused on that promotion. We now allow man to make us compromise to get that promotion. And sometimes it may not be work, it may not be ministry where you're allowing other people to actually order your steps. It could be even in the aspect of marriage. Like I said, if you're a single sister out there, sometimes you may allow the boyfriend or the fiance that you're in a relationship with to order your steps instead of allowing God to order your steps because you so want to him to approve you so that he can marry you. You allow him to dictate certain things which you know are against the principles of God. And so you allow him to let you touch you where he's not supposed to touch you. You allow him to do things to you, intimate things that are supposed to be reserved for the marriage. Why? Because you want to so get married to him that you're not allowing God to order your steps, but you're allowing him now to order your steps. And as women, so often our steps are not really ordered by God. Our steps are ordered by society, pressure from society to dress in a certain way, pressure from society to look a certain way is what now orders our steps. We allow magazines and magazine editors to order our steps to determine our weight. You know, and many of us are on permanent diets because magazines are ordering our steps and determining our weight and what we need to look like. So, you know, we're allowing other things. We're allowing societal stereotypes to order our steps. We're allowing worldly images to order our steps instead of allowing God to be the one who orders our steps and everywhere we go. So this is really the scripture just to remind us that, you know, let's allow God to order our steps. Let's understand that God has already pre-approved us. He's validated us. And if you are in Christ, your identity is in Christ. And so we're not looking for extra approval from man, but allowing God to order our steps in every way. The prayer of my heart is that moving on from here, we will really be very mindful of allowing God to order our steps in everything that we do. It's time to follow the ultimate Father's lead, beloveds. We've been looking for the approval of man and for man to order our steps, but now it's time to be focused and just to allow God to order our steps. It's time to look for God's approval. He has approved us. And when God has approved us, we don't have to go breaking kingdom principles and breaking kingdom, protocols just so that we can be liked by certain networks and certain people. So when God orders your steps, it's such a powerful thing. It's so amazing. And I've been the beneficiary of having been ordered, allowing him to order my steps. And when he orders your steps, he now positions you. So there's a reason why God is ordering your steps. He's not ordering your steps to take you into a place of destruction. No, his plans for you are good. They are yea, they are amen. So when he orders your steps, it's because he's taking you to a place that he's already pre-assigned for you. He's taking you to a place where you are going to benefit. He's taking you to a place where you will be blessed. And so it's important that we allow God to position us. When he orders our steps, he positions us. And many of us have instead positioned ourselves or allowed other people to position us instead of allowing God to position ourselves. Especially if you're coming from the corporate world background, which is my background, many times we don't trust God. We don't pray to God and ask him to order our steps and position us. But we're busy, you know, fighting all these battles in the flesh so that we can rise up on the corporate ladder and get that much wanted, much desired position and that name tag and that office and all of those things. But in this season, I adjure you, I provoke you to allow God to position you and allow God to order your steps. And some of us have now positioned ourselves into a place of contention and a place of enmity. You know, if you read that whole account, it actually tells us that when Isaac named the wells that he had named, the same names that his father had named them, when he named them, there were two names that he gave to the wells. One well he called Essek, and another well he called Sitna. And if you do a Bible study of the words and etymology, the word Essek means contention. It means contention. And the word Sitna means enmity. So when you allow man to order your steps, when you allow man to position you, and you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not led by God, and it's not God positioning you and ordering your steps, it can take you into a place of Essek. So when you allow man to position you, or when you position yourself, you can be positioned into a place of contention, a place of Essek, which is a place of contention. When you are not, you know, positioned by God and allowing him to order your steps, you can be positioned into a place of Sitna, which is a place of enmity, because you've allowed the flesh to take over. And instead of being led by the Spirit of God, you've been led by flesh, and it can lead you into a place of enmity, into a place of contention. And so, but Rehoboth, which is where now Isaac ultimately landed up, where God positioned him into a place of Rehoboth. Rehoboth is a place of more room. A place of more room. When you allow God to order your steps, when you allow God to position you, he will bring you into a place of Rehoboth. And Rehoboth, we know, means more room. It means extra space. It means a larger place, a larger territory. And that's what happens when we allow God to lead us, to position us. And it's not just, you know, only larger place of more money, because many of us are just looking for resources and money. It could be a larger place of shalom, a larger place, more room of wellness, more room of health, more room of peace. So it's bigger than just resources and finance. Rehoboth is a place of more room of peace, more room of wellness, more room of divine health, more room of ministry, more room of connecting to destiny helpers, more room of relationships. So when you get into more room, you get into a place where you can connect to all those aspects of more of multiplication. And so Rehoboth, when you allow God to position you, when you allow God to order your steps and to lead you, he will bring you into a place of Rehoboth. And when you allow also God to order your steps, you also become fruitful. Verse 22, we are still, of course, in Genesis 26. And verse 22 of Genesis 26 reads as follows. It says, "And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.'" So when you allow God to order your steps and bring you to that place of Rehoboth, he will bring you to a place where that, you know, you're not quarreling and arguing. And many of us are debating in the flesh, and there's a lot of quarrels because, you know, the enemy in John 10:10 came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he was now being led by the Spirit of God, being positioned by God, being his steps were being ordered by God. And he was led not to a place of enmity, not into a place of Sitna, but into a place of Rehoboth. And Rehoboth means, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." So when you allow God to order your steps, you become fruitful. You will bear fruit in your season. And of course, you know, I just love a scripture in Psalms, and it talks about you will bear fruit in due season, and your leaf will not wither. May that be our portion, that we will be fruitful. We will be fruitful in our seasons, and our leaves will not wither. Our leaves will not wither. So allowing God to order your steps will bring you to a place of Rehoboth, a place of more room, a place of fruitfulness, where you will be fruitful. And in verse 24 also, it says this. It says, let's read verse 24. "And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Woo! How powerful is that? When the Lord orders our steps, there's no reason to fear. There's no reason to fear. Why? Because God says he's with you. God cannot order our steps into a place where he's not there. He's not there. He's when he orders our steps, he's right next to us. He's with us. He's not leaving nor forsaking us. And so there's no need to fear. When you allow him to order your steps, he will not order your steps away from him. Anytime he orders our steps, he's ordering them in line with where he is. His presence is there. And so when God orders our steps, there's no need to fear because God is with us. And so there's no need to fear because when he's with us, he is with us and he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So there's no need to fear because he's with us. And he said also in the same scripture in verse 24, he said, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Let me tell you, beloveds, when we allow God to order our steps, not only is there no reason to fear, but also there's reason to rejoice because he said he will bless us and he will multiply us, not only multiply us, but he'll multiply our descendants as well. So we get blessed. We walk into multiplication. There's so many benefits that come with this. When you allow God to actually order your steps, what happens? You walk into blessings. And blessings, like I say, are not just material blessings, but blessings also include good health. Blessings include favor. Blessings include, destiny helpers. Blessings include peace, shalom, wellness of God. So when you allow God to order our steps, when we allow him to do that, we walk into blessings. We walk into multiplication in every different area, multiplication of good relationships, multiplying our marriages, multiplying our children, multiplying his benefits that come to us, multiplying our health and multiplying our wellness. All those are benefits that we walk into when we allow God to just, order our steps, and then says that he'll multiply our descendants. So allowing God to just order your steps also connects you to generational blessings. And the last point that I want to mention today, as we're reminded to just allow God to order our steps, is coming now from verse 28. We're still in Genesis 26. And verse 28 says as follows. It says, you walk into favor. It says, we're reading it now, okay? Because you're going to walk into favor. It says, but they said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. So allowing God to order our steps, allowing God to direct the way in which we should go, brings favor. We walk into that favor because this is what they said. And these are the enemies. These were people who were previously enemies of Isaac. Now it will make your enemies now even want to covenant with you. So this is a favor that everybody can see. It's evident. These are the enemies. Isaac's enemies now said, we have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. When you allow God to order your steps, everybody can see the favor. It is evident. It is an exhibit A. People can see that favor upon you. And it's a favor that, like I said, will even draw and attract your enemies, all those who've been trying to sabotage you. Remember, these are the enemies who've been digging dirt every time Isaac was trying to dig a well. They come and sabotage it. They come and fill it up back with earth. But now when you allow God to order your steps, he will turn even what the enemy meant for bad. He will turn it around, Genesis 50:20, so that many may live. That's what that scripture says. It doesn't say he'll turn it around for your good. It says what you meant for evil, God has turned it around so that many may live. many may live. And so that's the kind of favor that will come upon us now when we allow God to order our steps, is that now even the evil that the enemy was trying to bring against us, God can turn that around and turn it around so that many will testify and many may live, many may benefit. So it's a favor that can even draw, attract, the enemies out there who've been trying to sabotage, who've been trying to, do all sorts of things and sabotage the plans, sabotage your destiny, sabotage the purpose of God over your life. But when you just allow God control to order your steps and to direct your steps, the favor that comes and carries a favor. And it's a favor that makes even your enemies desire to be on your side. They said, this is what the enemy said. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. So the favor of God is so undeniable that it can draw and attract even people who were so against you, who were conspiring against you, forming conspiracies to see how they could bring you down, having private meetings to see how they can pull you down and show you who do you think you are. We're going to show you and we're going to make sure that you come down, and all of those plotters and, people trying to, saboteurs, people trying to set you up for failure, people trying to falsely accuse you and all of that. My God, it's a favor when you just allow God and surrender everything to God and say, God, you take over, you order my steps, you bring me into a place of Rehoboth, you bring me into a place where I need to be, you position me. When we allow that and we stop taking the reins of our lives and we allow God, we hand over the reins to God and say, you direct my steps, you order my steps, Lord, you position me, you take me into that place where I need to be. Bring alignment in my life. I surrender my will and I give it over to you, and I transfer, Father God, that everything over unto you. You direct my steps. You order my steps. And that's when you walk into that place of blessings. You walk into that place of multiplication. You walk into that place of Rehoboth. You walk into that place of generational blessings, and you walk into that place with a favor on you is evident for all to see. It's a favor that draws and attracts even your enemies and makes them desire to be on your side so that they can benefit of the favor of God that is so clear and so evident over your life. So, beloveds, I just want to thank you, and I want to encourage us today to say, allow God, allow the Lord to order our steps. Let's allow him to do that so we can connect to all those powerful, the fruit that comes as a result of allowing God to order our steps. I love you with the love of the Lord, and it's always such a great pleasure to just have this time to share the amazing word of God that will take us from one level of glory to another level of glory. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you next week. Lots of love and lots of blessings in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Shimikoto Ministries Radio Network International, with our co-producer, Kayla Paget, bringing you our weekly broadcast. And this time, I am discussing, sharing you my story, because we're about to celebrate Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy men. Happy life. Let's discuss about our issues as men. Thank you. I'm going to be here for you. That may not be knowing, my name is Josh, short name for Jehoshaphat. We're born two of us in a family of twins. We are two sets of twins at home. We are raised in a family of 10 children, one father, one mother, believe me. But God has been so wonderful to our lives. I was raised in a very small town in the country of Zimbabwe. Many of you would know that Zimbabwe is not doing so well economically and politically. but that's where I was raised. And therefore, I'm here to come and share testimony that I do believe can be able to help you and share words of encouragement. So I appreciate you, my brother Kendall, and Pastor Marie, for allowing me to become and be a blessing to the brothers and our sister that is here tonight. I was 11 when I got saved, but my journey to salvation was very, very difficult in so many ways. First and foremost, I've been born in a family of twins. My twin brother's name was Jacob, at the age of 7. Just before he turned 7, he was bitten by a snake. Zimbabwe has some of the dangerous snakes there, and it was a green mamba. We were walking together outside in our village at home, and it bit him. And for some reason, I was spared from that. Obviously, God had a purpose for it. And it is from that experience where my life really was changed. And right then on, I started asking questions, that like you do as a young boy, because you want to know, why did my brother die? How could God, who the talk of God of love, and God who loves us all in this faithfulness, why did he take my brother? Those questions were not answered. Were not answered, not even by my mom, were not answered by my father. I think it was only exacerbated when each time they would introduce me that this is the twin brother whose brother was taken by God to heaven. So the more they said God had taken my brother, it was supposed to be a gentle tone to really cool me and to lull me down my emotions. But it raised a lot of confusion inside of my life. Because I wanted to know, why would be a God of love take away my only brother from me?
Yes.
And that created a lot of bitterness and resentment towards God and towards the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That increased with a lot of pressure and a lot of things that were happening around in our family. And my father being a very churchman, a godly man, as you would think, every time when we would gather together for family prayers, what we called family altars, and would make turns for each one of us to give a testimony or to share a scripture. That was very difficult for me. It took me a long time for me to embrace the element that I could continue to serve and follow this God who took my twin brother.
Yeah.
We are living in a very broken world. And it is the brokenness that brings all sorts of vulnerabilities around us as men. By the time I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I got saved under the tents of Reinhard Bonnke, the revivalist, who is going to be with the Lord as well. And his ministry was very prevalent in Africa. Reinhard Bonnke, when he preached that message that night, changed my life, even though the questions were remaining unanswered in me.
Yeah.
It took me on a very, very long time for me to recover from that. And leading to my salvation, I would remain with my cousins that were from my father's side, and they will always take care after us. And obviously, mom, when she explains for me the story, that it took me months and months, and I would cry every time asking, where is Jacob? Where is Jacob, my twin brother? In that moment of vulnerability, my cousin, you know, from my dad's side, abused me sexually. And I wanted to understand that something then happens within you, because you realize that the emptiness that is in me, the questions that are in me, are now fed to the wrong source. And as a result, I found comfort in an uncomfortable situation. From that time, I realized that the trajectory of my life, I don't know how this thing was going to pan out. And obviously, having grown in a very a community people, families that so needed together, whenever there was an issue that had to do with the sex abuse or it was emotional abuse, it was hush hush. You can't talk about it. The first time I tried to talk to my my brothers and my sisters, you could tell that they will shut you down. And therefore, I wouldn't dare even try and raise it up with my mother. Such was my story. But I thank God that my salvation at 11, the seed that was sown there, even though it was covered with a lot of confusion and a lot of questions and resentment and bitterness, it helped me to understand, bleeding and wounded as I was, more about God. The reason I wanted to understand about this story, it is because I did not know that at any time I'll be standing in front of you today as men. Because along with all the issues that had happened around my life as a young boy, having lost my twin brother and the questions that I had, I grew up in a regime in Zimbabwe. If you know the history of Zimbabwe, it was the apartheid system. So blacks were substandard, and everything that was done between blacks and white, white was better and black was lower than white. In all regards, when I would go with my dad to what was called the life groups in our time, would often caught up in the curfew of what was happening in the time, the Rhodesian army, which were white. I've witnessed at that young age when my father was being beaten by the back of an AK-47 on his jaw, and my dad would bleed and fall down to the ground coming from church.
What happened to him?
He was beaten by the white soldiers in the time in the regime in Zimbabwe. So cruel, and the questions in me and the confusion in me was increasing. It wasn't getting better, and I wanted to understand that. You grow up with this confusion in you, and you do not know exactly where to go to. More and more, when the pastor of the day would preach about a God of love, and you can understand where my mind was. Don't tell me about this God of love. I'd almost speak back when he's talking about this God of love as a young boy. A certain level of rebellion rises up within you because you don't seem to be understanding how broken you are. But it was in those moments that I began to realize that God cared for me and he loved me enough.
Thank you, Lord.
I was called to go into ministry because of my father's discipline, and I learned to keep on walking with God even though I did not understand what was happening in my life with all this confusion. I was subjected to one of the most powerful men of God, who was a professor of the time in a Bible school, and I was offered a free sponsorship. But even way before then, I was saying to the other guys in the house, my family was poor. My father was a miner in the asbestos mine, and he died in 1989. And he died a very painful death because he stepped on a landmine. After the independence of 1980, when Rhodesia changed into Zimbabwe, they left a lot of landmines everywhere in the bushes because it was a terror, the guerrilla warfare. And he stepped on it by mistake while he was at work, and it blasted him into pieces. Now, this is the first year when I have decided that I'm going to go into ministry and serve God anyway, even though I'm still bitter against him. The very first time I go out to preach, I was in South Africa. When the news came out about a man who has been blasted by a landmine, I was in a public sort of minibus kumbi, like the ones that you see up there, the white one there. And it's 15 of us, a 15-seater. And we are hearing the news talking about this man who has been blasted by a landmine, and the next of kin have not been told because some of the children are not yet there. Little did I know, that was my father. Something happens within you as you grow. Where do you go in a world that puts you under pressure? That be a man, and a man should be strong. Where do you go when churches and every pulpit mostly, you are told that a man is the leader, and a man is supposed to be a provider, and a man is supposed to be a protector, and a man is supposed to be the one that leads his family? Where do you go? I got married. After I got married, now that I don't have a father who would be able to help me and mentor me into the marriage issues, So you have got a broken man with a broken lady, who is my wife, face to face for the very first time, and you have been told that it is going to be glorious in marriage. But that was not my experience. I'm wounded, I am bleeding. And now what happens emotionally when you reach that space in your life where emotionally you are wounded? You'll find yourself venting out your anger, and you misdirect your anger to the wrong person. So my wife, instead of enjoying marriage, she was enjoying marriage. It gets better, because at the time when all this confusion is set upon you, nobody tells you. How many of you know that it's only the institution of marriage where we give you a certificate before you leave it? Every other industry, they want you to go for apprenticeship. Am I right about it?
Yeah, that's right.
Every other industry, whether it's teaching, you must go for practicals first before they certificate you. But in marriage, all you need to be is 18 years of age. The government, not even the church, the government deems you qualified. The problem with that is you are now in the system that you have got a lot of questions over. You have got a history of brokenness which cannot talk publicly about. And as a result, you wonder, now that I'm a Christian, I follow God, and I am born again, I love Jesus, I speak in tongues, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But please explain to me, what is this trail of woundedness and brokenness that is following me? You reach a point in life where you either, what they say oftentimes in the world, fake it until you make it.
Yep.
Because an ideal man that is being presented as a church man, he's supposed to be a godly man, a prayerful man. He's a protector. He's a provider for his family. And everything else seems to be quite very nice ideologies. But what do? You are trapped in this body, because when you look back where you are coming from, you are told, if any man is in Christ, he's a what?
A new creation.
And then you look at your life and you say, something is not right here.
If
I am new in Christ and I'm a new creation in Christ, why, when I look back where I'm coming from, it's like there is stuff that seems to be following me, and it seems to be with me everywhere I go. It either makes you to live a double standard life.
Yeah.
When you're in church, you can lift up your hands to God. When you're in church, you can accept positions of leadership. When you are in church, they can make you a minister. They can make you a deacon or an elder. Yeah. When you are in church, they can give you all these positions of influence, because men, we do that very well.
Yeah.
Our sense of affirmation does not come from anything else, but from the security of our jobs.
Yeah. That's
a good position. Yeah. And as a result, you find yourself in a conundrum, because at church, you are as good as they want you to be. You put everything quite well, you're well dressed, you're well maintained, your thoughts are together. But on Monday, when you go back home after church, your house is like a living hell. You kick the dog, you kick the cat, you kick everything, and plates and utensils that you bought very expensively, and you beat your wife. And that's not where the problem is. The problem is, no one has explained to you this whole journey about salvation. Church cannot fix that. Pastors fail to fix that. So what I wanted to do, I want to take it there for on that journey, because that journey of mine that I'm telling you right now, I got my help when I began to realize that you and I, you are that picture there that you see there. Let's read it, all of us together, from Spirit. One, two, four.
Yep. Spirit, soul, and body.
Say that once again.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Now then, I begin to realize that you and I, we are created first and foremost by God.
spirit, soul, and body.
Yeah.
That helped me to understand, because I used to wonder that if I am born again and everything is new, what part of me is new? And obviously, because I'm used not to be told to be answered when I have got questions. So you begin to think quite a lot, but God took me on a journey that I believe can help all of us gather as men. I am a spirit. I live in a body. I have a soul.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I am a spirit. And because God is a spirit, it makes sense when I read Genesis 1, verse 26, because it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over every creeping thing that was on the earth. It makes me therefore understand that in his nature as God, the Elohistic nature of God has made me in his image. If I am created in the image of God, where should I go when I'm stuck in life? When I'm disappointed about life? When I'm wounded about life? I need to go to the one who created me. Am I right about
you? Yeah, yeah. Amen.
I began to understand that when the Spirit of God comes and invade my spirit part here, which is my spirit man, he gets in there, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 therefore is confirmed. He makes me a new creation. When I become a new creation, I should therefore understand that my body is not new, and my soul area, which is my mind, my will, my memories, are not changed. Because the day I got saved and they told me that I was a new creature, I expected all the gooey stuff of my past to go. But I realized, no, the memory of the past did not go. They still stayed with me. Right. So I was introduced to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which the Apostle Paul talks to the Romans when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let your minds be renewed. I then begin to realize, if I am a spirit, nothing's wrong with my spirit, but between my spirit and my body, there's one critical element there that needs to be dealt with.
Yes.
And that's what we call the soul area, the yellow.
Yeah.
In the soul area, it's where my mind, my will, and my emotions are. Now I understood why in the life of Jesus Christ, if you follow through the Gospels, whenever Jesus Christ was here for the 3 years that he lived, whenever he wanted to pray, you notice in the Bible, he always went up to the mountains. Whenever Jesus wanted to pray, you would go up the mountains to go and pray. But there is one critical moment where Jesus doesn't go to the mountain to pray. He goes in a valley. And the valley is called Gethsemane. Whenever Jesus Christ went up to the mountain to pray, rarely did he take up his disciples unless on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. He went there alone and he used to spend night fellowshipping with his Father. But something happens in Matthew 26. He doesn't go to the mountaintop this day. This night, he goes to the lowest point of the earth. It's a garden. It's an olive garden. He will go there, almost trying to make it in his life. His emotions are in conflict. He prays a prayer. And the prayer that he would pray is different from any other prayer he would have prayed in his time. This time when he prays a prayer, repeating it 3 times. I know you are stuck. When you can repeat certain things 3 times, he says, Father, this is hard. I can't drink this. This is hard. What's happening there? The emotions are in conflict. The soul area is in conflict. Because the sin of mankind from Adam to you and I are now being pushed, not in his spirit, in his soul. The Bible says he goes through a process that you and I know, and known by the doctors, a condition where the sweat glands begin to release blood. Prays a prayer. For the first time, the teacher of the word is asking the students to pray with him. For the first time, goes to Peter, James, and John, who are asleep. He says, wake up, stay with me. What's happening there? Critical decisions must be made from the soul area there. And they fall asleep again. And then I thank God for that prayer, because when Jesus is in agony and is praying, conflict between his will, which is where the soul area is, remember the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Yeah. He's stuck up there. And then he says, Lord, not my will, but yours be done.
Amen.
When he surrendered to the will of his Father, he finished the journey up to the cross and he died for you and I. There's hope for you and I. And here's where the hope is. When you get saved in the spirit area, the same agony that Jesus Christ went through in his soul area, Jesus did it for you, so you and I can understand how to deal with the issues that surround the soul. In your soul, there are memories right now that you carry. In your soul area, in your mind, all of us here, the truth is you're born broken. You're born broken because you're born from a broken family. But you can't blame your father and mother because they're also born broken. And no matter how much you feel, you don't like them, you hate your parents, or you hate whoever would have abused you. But the truth is, if you understand the departure point of humanity, all humanity is depraved, it is broken, and there's only one person who can sort that. It's not money, it's not prostitution, it's not drugs, it's not friends, it's Jesus. Right here, in this soul area here, is the place that gets contaminated easily. Now I want you to understand what then happens in your life and in my life. The moment we said yes to Jesus, John 10:10, it's a familiar verse. I always say, if you want to know the mission statement of the devil, it is similar to the mission statement of Jesus. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. And life in abundance. Someone shout amen.
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 The devil also says, I have come to. I have come to steal. And because I know I can't touch your spirit, I know what I will do. I will use your past in the soul area against you. If I can prove to you, you are unwanted, you are unworthy, you are insignificant, nobody loves you, I have won. Because I won't stop there. The devil, his mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Before he destroys you, the devil's agenda was never about you being on drugs. That was not his agenda. The devil's agenda was not you in jail. The devil's agenda was not you abusing alcohol. That was not his agenda. The devil's agenda was not you prostituting. The devil's agenda was destruction.
Yeah.
If he can convince you that since you are saved in your spirit area, but you are being tormented by the past, and you don't know how to deal with that part there, you are trapped. There's nothing that is as painful as being in church, and you are trapped. Thank you once again. Join us next week once again as we continue with our program, as we discuss about manhood issues when you are trapped because you are a man. Thank you.